So I think it's awesome that we have the opportunity to continue to drive this dialogue on how we advance our protection in the cyberspace for America. The second bill that was just introduced, the alternative to the first bill, approaches it in a perspective of taking chewable bites that can actually advance our cybersecurity protection profile. It does not establish a new regulatory and compliance regime for America's private sector critical infrastructure, and I think that's a key difference between the two bills. There are some similarities in some of the focus areas, and I think that's a good thing and will help continue to drive this dialogue.
Okay, so which one would you say is more advantageous or which will further cybersecurity itself more effectively? Do you see one as being superior to the other?
So, Tom, I've always believed that what we need to do is try and identify the areas that can actually improve our overall cyber posture that we can agree on, whether we're Republicans or Democrats, whether we're in industry or government, that we recognize that there are certain key elements that can help advance that profile today, get traction, and build upon it. And I think the alternative bill that was introduced yesterday gives us a greater opportunity to do that. Combined with some of the good work that's being done on the House side with Representative Rogers and Representative Lundgren and others, I think finally we have an opportunity to come together on something that can actually make a difference. It may not solve the entire problem, but that's what I talked about earlier, is let's get something we can agree on, let's get some traction, let's learn from it, and let's continue to build on it. The notion of moving private industry from a security and innovation posture to one that diverts potentially attention and resources to a regulatory and compliance model is just not appropriate in today's climate, where we need to be nimble and agile, where we need to continue facilitating private sector investment in research and development to deliver the innovation that is providing the solutions to meet this challenge.
We're speaking with Bob Dix. He's Vice President for Government Affairs and Critical Infrastructure at Juniper Networks.
Now, Mr. Dix, you've been one of the more outspoken critics of that first bill because you had some concerns around the critical infrastructure. Some people will say, and I want to give you kind of an opportunity to talk a little bit about this, is, well, self-certification, you know, self-regulation doesn't work. There needs to be at least some form of standards that's developed collaboratively. Give me a sense of why you think that's maybe that tact is maybe not the best one.
So those are two different things now. I fully support the notion of collaborating industry and government and academia on a set of security standards. And I think we've got evidence working with the national working with NIST as to how we can do that in the development of 800-53 and some of the other standards that are being utilized now across the federal government and in many cases adopted in the private sector. That's a positive example of that. Alternatively, what the bill recommended was the establishment of security performance requirements that private sector owner and operators would have to have certification annually as to their meeting those security requirements and potentially third-party attestation to that. My concern is that processes like that add bureaucracy, they're slow, and frankly, by the time they're done, they're out of date, they're obsolete. The adversary moves very quickly, and their level of sophistication continues to grow. We in the private sector, those of us that are fighting this fight every day and delivering resilience across the networks that we rely on, need to continue to be nimble and agile and have speed. And most importantly, we need to continue to facilitate investment in the research and development that's producing that innovation. That's the kind of collaboration. That's how we work together, industry and government, to address this growing challenge.
So the second bill that was just introduced yesterday by Senators McCain, Bailey Hutchinson, and several others, that one takes a different approach that focuses on incentives. How's that going to work differently than the one that would focus more on regulations?
So part of the incentive that's focused in this bill, and frankly is touched on in the Lieberman-Collins bill as well, is trying to address the challenges of sharing relevant information, threat and vulnerability information. Because at the end of the day, this really is about managing risk. Similarly, in the physical world, we cannot protect everything all the time. It's about managing risk. So the more information that can inform situational awareness to allow us to make good decisions as to how we make risk management decisions will be a strong and important positive step forward in how we address this challenge.
Now, so we have two bills that are pretty widely apart. I don't know which title contains those two parts, but do you think, and I'm asking you to put on your Hill experience hat here now, can they reconcile this and get one bill in any reasonable amount of time?
I believe that opportunity does present itself. And I also want to congratulate the authors of both bills, because they've actually reached out to those of us in industry and asked for our feedback and for our assistance in trying to help find that common ground that can actually move the needle on cybersecurity protection. So, yes, I think so. I think with the work being done in the Senate, the work being done in the House, if we will adopt an approach that takes chewable bites, that identifies those areas that can actually make improvements that we can agree on, get that traction I talked about earlier, and then learn from it and build on it, I think that's a strategic legislative approach that can have success.